Hey everybody. Okay, we're going to look at Matthew 6:11 this morning. Okay. So Matthew 6:11 says, "Give us today our daily bread." Okay. Give us today our daily bread. Or in the Young's Literal Translation, it says, "Our appointed bread give us today." And in the Greek, it says that the bread of us daily grant us today. The bread of us daily grant us today. And bread means artos, and it means divine provision. And we've talked about that before. So all the sustenance God supplies to a yielded believer, scene by scene, to live in his preferred will, food of any kind, to elevate and to lift. So it comes from the word aro, which means to elevate and to lift. Okay? And so the bread is sustenance, it's divine provision. And daily means appropriate to what's coming on, or appropriate to what's happening. And it's suitable for the coming day. That's what it means, daily. So bread that fits and it meets the unique demands of the coming day. The bread of our necessity, it serves to sustain life, it's subsistence as well, and it means it's the action or the fact of maintaining or supporting oneself. So everything we need to support ourselves, everything we need to get through the coming day or whatever's happening in the day, it says that. The way it's said, which is the bread of us daily grant us today. So it's like the bread or the provision or the sustenance and whatever God needs to supply us, it's already provided for us. It is like it is not coming or has to be produced and God has to think about it. It's like there's an allotted amount of bread that is allocated, and it's set aside, and it's suitable for whatever's going to happen in our unique demands of our day for each person, which tells me that your days are planned. You know, the Bible does say that our days are planned and they're numbered. So what you're in today is not a surprise to God, and everything you need for this day is already allocated and available for you. What we do ask is we ask God in the morning to grant us that bread. Okay? Grant means to put it in place. Okay? And to bestow it upon us, to give it to us. It's to give something to someone in various senses. He says, if my children ask for a bread, do I give them a rock or do I give them a stone? Okay? To give something to someone in various senses, it means to supply and to furnish with necessary things. So whatever you need in your day, when you wake up in the morning and you ask God to give me the bread or put in place the provision and the sustenance that you have for me to meet the unique demands of my day. So for me to undertake what's necessary or the necessity of the day. And he says it's been provided and it's in there for you. So you just have to ask him to put it in place. Put it in place for me today, God. Okay, and today means the word means sermon, and it's the now, and it means the time in between sunset and sunrise and sunset, and it's the undertakings of the day. Okay, so give us this day our daily bread, or put in place for me today, God. That's grant me. So put in place for me today, God. The daily provision, which is all the supplies that I need, which talks about all supplies. So whether it's for your physical, your spiritual, emotional, intellectual, all of your makeup, all of the tasks that you need to undertake, everything's in being is done. It's assigned to your day. He knows what you're going to do today. So we just need to get into the habit of waking up in the morning and saying, God, put in place the provision that you have for me today so I can sustain today and undertake the undertakings for today. Okay, put in place, supply and furnish me with all the necessary things. Put it all in place for me today. And then how your day goes is exactly how your day should go. What you have in your day today is exactly what God's asked you. So if you're asking for that, you're asking Him to put that in place for you each day, then there's no negativity, there's no concern, there's no worry, because you're in trust and you're in faith and you understand that what you've got is what you need for the day. Okay, nothing more, nothing less. And forgive us the debt of our of And forgive us the debts of us, and also we forgive the debtors of us. Matthew 6:12. Forgive means to release and to discharge and to send. It means to remit from punishment, to keep it no longer and to lay it aside. The biblical meaning of forgiveness actually means letting go of sin, and it means forgiving everyone, every time, of everything. And that's as an act of obedience and gratefulness to God. So forgiving is an act of obedience. Obedience to God is forgiving. Forgiving everyone, every time, for everything. Okay? And that shows your gratefulness to God for for Him giving us His Son and for paying the price for us. Okay? It's an act of obedience when we forgive, which means we release people. We release them. And we don't keep their offense or their sin any longer. We don't talk about it. We don't reminisce over it. We don't ruminate over it. We've let it go. Okay, letting it go means to release it. Conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or a group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness or not. Okay, debt is ophelima, and it is the result of focusing on the after effect of the obligation. That's what a debt is. It's the result of focusing on the after effect of the obligation, that which is justly or legally due. It's an offense or a sin, morally or immorally or fault. Okay? Morally or fault. A fault of a person or a moral failure or whatever has caused offense. Okay, so focusing, once you've been offended or once they've morally hurt you or there's a fault about somebody. Then focusing on the after effect, the obligation, like they hurt me, they should do this, they should make amends, they should apologize, they should. He says that is a debt because you're focusing on the after effect, the obligation of what they should do. Okay? So we forgive and forgive us of the debt of us. So we ask God to forgive and release us and let go of our sin. Let go of our and I'll get to it in a moment. In a minute, I'll look at that. So debtors, and also we forgive the debtors of us. So the debtors are someone who is under obligation to pay us back, which is to pay us back for hurting us. Okay, so we discharge a debt. So we don't hold an offense against somebody. We don't hold a sin against them. We don't hold their moral failure or their fault against them. Okay, so that's what it's saying. We ask God to forgive us of our moral faults. We ask God to forgive us of our offenses when we've caused offense or when we've sinned. And because of that, we do the same for others. Okay, so for a believer, our forgiveness ends at Calvary, where our sin ends at Calvary, where Christ paid all of our debt with His blood. He extends total release to us, forgiving the penalty for each time we spent His gift of life rather than invested it. Okay, so that's what He's forgiving, the penalty. There's a penalty for when we live for ourselves and we don't invest it in Him and in the kingdom. So forgiving the penalty for each time we spent our gift of life rather than invested it. We didn't invest it in people. All right, so the blood of Jesus removes all of the penalty, which is the condemnation of sin. So sin carries condemnation. So the blood of Jesus removes the penalty, which is condemnation. So the blood of Jesus removes our condemnation, which is the penalty that we get from sin. So we don't feel condemned because we haven't, because we've committed an offense, or because we've offended somebody, or because we've sinned, or because we've morally missed the mark, or because we've got faults. We don't feel condemnation about that. We apply the blood of Jesus and we thank God that we've been forgiven, we've been released of all that, that we don't have to be perfect, that we don't have to, that we are going to miss the mark and we are going to make mistakes, but we don't live in the condemnation of it. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood and that you make straight the path and that you restore us and that you lay it all aside and that you transform us and you change us through our sin, through our mistakes, through forgiving and loving us and teaching us to forgive and love other people who are also making the same mistakes and sinning and morally missing the mark and having faults and not perfect. Okay, no, we don't hold on to resentment. Okay, and a debtor is one who has not yet made amends to one who he has injured and obliged to rectify a debt. So, we forgive our debtors. So those people who haven't made an amends to us, those people who haven't made said they're sorry or shown us forgiveness, we forgive them. So God's forgiven us before we even ask God for forgiveness is what he's saying. So he's saying that we forgive our debtors. Even when they haven't made amends, even when they haven't owned, acknowledged their mistakes, even when they have harmed us and they haven't said sorry, and they're obliged to fix it, we forgive them anyway. We forgive them anyway because God's forgiven us anyway. God, we forgive them first because it releases them from the condemnation. And that frees them to love and to forgive other people. And that's the process. That's what we're meant to be doing. So if we're forgiving our debtors, we release them from the bondage of self. We release them from condemnation. We don't hold an account over their head. We let them go. We let them be loose and we let them be free. And in the spirit, that frees them to forgive and love others as well. Not just in the spirit, but in the physical, because we're demonstrating, okay? All right, so God bless you guys. Forgive and love. Have a good day.